Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday, April 26th in our calendar year, and on the church here, it's the third Sunday after Easter, and in our year of 2020, which is unlike any year, I think we would all safe to say, like any other, it is week, it seems like umpty squad of the pandemic, of staying at home. So, before I get started this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday morning, this beautiful morning of sunrise where we're at, and we thank you especially for you. So we ask now, Lord, that you'll fill our hearts and minds with your Spirit as we take this time to focus on you and worshiping you through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So good morning, and as I said, so I'd like to start this morning by reading to you from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the fourth chapter. So Paul writes, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me it is very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in the darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." Here ends the reading. And today's gospel reading today comes from the book of Luke, and the sixth chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other as also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use it will be measured back to you." The Gospel of the Lord. So I think it's probably safe for you to see that through today's readings, the common theme is, talks about judgment, judgment of others. So what exactly does it mean to judge? So in order to talk about it, we have to look at what the dictionary says, so we know that we're talking about the same thing. So I looked up the definition of the word judge today, not in the noun sense, but in the action sense, and it says judge is to arrive at a conclusion from evidence and reason. That's what it means to judge. I think it's absolutely appropriate today that this passage that Jesus talks about and then also explained in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the topic of enemies and how to treat people, and of course about judging others. Let me see, we've been in this crisis now for over 6 weeks, and I'm sure you're no different than me. You have listened to what people have been telling you. You have probably looked at social media or heard others say, or you've watched the television news. You've watched the report from our leaders. You've heard what they've said. And then you've heard that interpreted through our friends and family and everyone else. And I don't know, maybe you're like me, but I am absolutely heartbroken. Not so much by this situation we find ourselves in, because, you know, it is one of those things in which we found upon ourselves that we had absolutely no control over. It just kind of happened to us. Now, we can go back and analyze and dissect it, and I'm sure everybody will when we get through this, of who did what and who knew what and what should we have done. And we can Monday morning quarterback this to death. And I'm sure that we will. And unfortunately, I know our political leaders will do this. And yes, and there will be some merit to what they do, because we learn from our past, hopefully. And we can be more prepared for something like this in the future. But unfortunately, my cynical mind says that they will do this for their own gain and not for the benefit of others so much. So let's look at judging. And what is Jesus saying here? Well, first and foremost, the first thing he said in verse 27, he said, "But I say to you who hear," so he's speaking to his disciples, and he's another word for saying, he says, "But I say to you who listen, love your enemies." Love your enemies. I mean, come on. What does that mean? I don't love my enemies. I don't love the guy that puts my family at risk, who puts my livelihood at risk. I don't want to do that. I want them to stop it. I want them to be punished. Who among us thinks that way? I would venture to guess I'm not alone in those thoughts. But you see, Jesus is challenging me, as he's challenging the rest of us here, to look at this different. Love your enemies. You see, there's power in love. We love the feel-good part of love. We love how that translates into emotion, the love of a child, the love of an embrace, which is something, boy, I really look forward to when this is over. The love of somebody who gives us joy, the love of a situation in which we're happy. But you know what? Love is most powerful when it's acted purely, unadulterated, on those who are lacking it most. So love your enemy. The question is, we need to define who or what is the enemy. Who or what is the enemy? Do you know who your enemy is? Something to ponder, something to think about as we move forward. So what do you do in that situation? How do you love your enemies? Well, Jesus goes on to say, he says, do good to those who hate you. I have a hard time sometimes doing good to those who love me. Now you're asking, Jesus is asking us to do good to those who hate us? Well, here again, that continues the theme of loving your enemies. And how do we show our love? It's not by doing in verse 37 where he says, judge not and you will not be judged. No, it's by loving our enemies and doing good to those who hate us. Bless those who curse you. Wow. And here's probably the biggest one. And here's the one that I absolutely wish I would see a whole lot more of in Facebook when it comes to the leaders that they don't like or the people who take positions they don't like, the people who disagree with us. I wish I would see from our heart somebody would stand up and say, you know what? I pray for all of you, even those who I don't like, even those who I don't know that are doing, I don't believe are doing what I think is right, even those who have hurt me deeply. You see, Jesus goes on to talk about this in verse 37, and he talks about judging. You see, I really love this because he's not saying that judging does not happen. And Paul is doing the same thing in Corinthians when he says that, you know, he says, don't judge me. I don't even judge myself. It's not that he's not saying that judgment is going to happen, but judgment is going to come from the one who knows. The one who knows. And why is it so hard for us to judge? And why is Jesus condemning us? Because just like in the situation today, when we look and hear what people say, every single one of us look at it from a biased, corrupted position. Yes, and I mean every one of us. I'm not saying our intentions are bad. I'm just saying it. We're looking at it from our own perspective only. The definition says to arrive at a conclusion from evidence and reason. So, does evidence and reason only come from the one who is judging? Or does it come from listening? As Jesus said earlier, he said, but I say to you who hear, in other words, those who are listening, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. You see, Jesus is forcing us here before we take that stand to listen to the person that we are judging. In other words, he's asking us to do something that we struggle mightily with. And you can just see it in all the discourse of all the hatred that's out there of people who do things or disagree with people. Jesus is telling us to listen to understand, not to defend our own position. You see why the reason I say that, and I know that, is because his next words, right after he says, judge not and you will not be judged, are condemn not and you will not be condemned. You see, we're judging something, an action that we think is wrong, and we're condemning the act when we don't know why it has taken place at all. There are many of us here during this pandemic that we're stuck at home and we're hearing how awful this virus is and how deadly it can be, how contagious it can be. And honestly, I don't think anybody who has evidence and reason can come to the conclusion that that's false. We simply cannot do that. But I also see that in this time, since we've been in this pandemic, almost 30 million people in this country I love have lost their jobs. Have lost their jobs. And wonder if there will even be a job to go back to. So do you think the person who's lost his job, who you may condemn, who wants to go back to work to support his family, to do the things that he feels or they feel valuable, to do the things that they deem important and necessary, are just totally disregarding the fact that this is a dangerous, deadly virus? Or do you say that to them that they're doing this because they're putting your life at risk? I'm asking you, walk in their shoes. I'm asking you to do that. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's right. In the end, we really don't know at this moment. Then Jesus goes on in verse 37, after he says not to condemn, he says the most important thing, the most important thing, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Do we do that? Do we forgive those who hate us? Do we forgive those who curse us? Do we forgive those who we just believe are just so unbearably incorrect or wrong in their actions? How can we forgive someone like that? You know, the whole power in forgiveness is not to release the person that we won't forgive, but it's to release us from that situation. So when we forgive, we no longer allow that person or situation to have power over us. You see, Paul gets it exactly right here. In Corinthians, when he says about judgment, he says, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. You see, God is looking directly into our hearts. He knows that person that is so fearful of the virus and that has maybe lost a loved one or a good friend due to this terrible virus. He knows where your heart is. He knows where your actions are. But he also knows the person who is staring the fact that he's lost everything. And he's staring at the fact that he doesn't know if he can pay his bills, that he can even provide shelter or they can provide shelter for their family. He knows all of us, my friends. He loves all of us. And yes, he will be the one judge. And for that, I'm thankful for. So I'm trying really hard moving forward, to even though, sure, I have my beliefs, and yes, they evolve over time, but I'm really trying hard not to pass judgment on people that I have never walked in their paths. And I know, most importantly, that God loves me. God loves you, my friends, and so do I. Amen.